You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I have friends. I definitely have friends.
Oh, yeah. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends.
I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Jim.
Moosh.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends. Cool.
This is the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast discussing the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which just got into its third season on the CW. Last Friday. It was so fun.
It was good.
Yeah, we've been waiting, I don't know, forever for it. Maybe a year since they had season two. So
I built a hope chest and I put all my dreams inside and I got to open
all
it.
All my wishes.
Because now it's season three.
My dowry has been met.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can be sold. Yay.
Yes, big season. Two ended with a wedding that our main character, Rebecca Bunch, she basically like went after her high school boyfriend, nabbed him, was going to marry him on this cool mountain, and then got ditched. He decided to leave her to become a priest, and that is where we left off.
You know, that's one of those impulsive decisions you just make in life, right? Like, I like sex. I'm gonna be a priest.
Every priest ended up there impulsively, right?
Well, yeah. Everyone needs to listen when God tells you to avoid confrontation.
Oh man,
like, that is a sacred calling.
It's like he put out an advertisement in page six of Bro Magazine, right? Where he's just like, "Do you hate conflict? Would you like to do something else with your life? Are you about to walk down the aisle and you really don't want to, but you thought you had 2 years and now you only have 2 weeks? Well, don't worry.
Well, I'll tell you what to do.
Go be a priest.
There's a white little tag that you put in your shirt for you.
Is your problem that you just go to women instead of dealing with your own emotions? Avoid women altogether by being a priest.
Don't worry. You can always change your mind again and again.
And you get a cool t-shirt.
You do get a cool
you
t-shirt.
You do get a cool t-shirt.
And you can still smoke weed.
Yep. Put it in a tree. Just put it in a tree.
What was the shirt again? I've seen it so many times now. It was like,
I'm a priest, but I'm no saint.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys know where that line comes from, right?
Not exactly.
Oh, it comes from the Count of Monte Cristo. Because they were the man who becomes the Count of Monte Cristo, Edmond. He's down in the catacombs because he got sent to jail because his buddy was like, I shouldn't be jealous of you because I'm rich and I got all the things, but you're happy and that's stupid. And so he's down there with this guy who's a priest, and the priest, who he just calls priest, Edmund just calls him priest, and he's like, supposedly there's this treasure of Monte Cristo, and I know where it's at. At least they think I do. And it turns out he really does. And when Edmund's like, but you lied. And he's like, I'm a priest, not a saint. And so that's where it comes. Yeah, great movie. You should watch it.
I thought it was a little longer.
Also, many other accounts in the world of priests who are not saints.
And popes and all clergy members, in fact, all of them.
Well, yeah.
Stuff. Yeah, so I'll go down that rabbit hole. That's a sad one. But so anyway, I don't know.
Oh,
got like an hour
to
talk about this. Yeah,
I just want to say thanks, guys, for the shout out last episode because it made me feel really great. Like I was having a really crappy week, and so I didn't come because I was having a super crappy week, and I was like, I'm gonna just be down and sad. Nobody needs to hear that. So I went to Paint and Pour by myself instead.
Ooh,
because I was like, here I can drink, but I'm not alone.
That's kind of awesome.
I think this
but
was
thank
the first.
Thank you. Yeah. You guys made me feel so great, and so thank you for that.
Good.
Oh,
just hugs around.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
I think this is the first time we've been together in over a month.
It could be, yeah.
Really?
No. We were together that one time. You just came back two weeks ago.
Okay. It did feel longer, though, for some reason.
Oh, we're also joined by our guest today, $29.99.
Yep. He's an extraterrestrial from, I don't know.
The planet Vodka.
The planet Vodka, yeah.
He's a vodka bottle, he's vodka in the shape of an alien. Or the bottles in the shape of alien. But it says $29.99 on the side, so that is now his name. Because yes. That's a name that an alien would choose for himself.
We've been drinking him for weeks, for months.
Yes, we have.
Since episode probably 3.
Aww. And he's almost gone.
And he's almost gone, so we brought him in with us.
He's a good listener.
Mm-hmm. What? No. There we go.
Awesome.
He is a good listener.
Yeah.
He's always willing to toast your problems. Cheers.
Make them worse. Okay.
Yeah.
Ready to dig into this? I didn't watch this episode till Sunday night or Monday night. I waited a while.
Whoa.
Because
how'd that feel?
It felt like it was one of those things where like I was just like, I want this.
Yeah.
I want this so bad. It's got to be perfect.
Aww.
So I actually drew a bath.
Hoping. Like, I just thought of that in my imagination. I was like, please tell me there were candles in a bath.
Yep, there were candles in a bath. And I was like, okay, I'll just put it on the side and I'll crank it up so I don't have to read subtitles and I'll just watch it from the bathtub.
Just ready to soak it all in.
Soak it all and take it all. I had to like focus because there's no phone, no distractions when you're in a bathtub. So,
well, that's kind of the great thing about a bathtub.
Oh my
right?
God. Yes.
Like, I don't understand when you go to like, well, I went to Vegas one time and we got this upgraded room and there was a TV in the bathroom. And I was like, I don't want a TV in the bathroom.
Not
one of the
really.
Great things about if you're going to take a bubble bath is that you're not around anything.
And then 6 hours later, you were still in the bathroom.
Could be. I wasn't because I was in Vegas and I wanted to see Vegas.
Yeah.
Another thing, like, I don't need these TVs. I'm in freaking Vegas.
That's true. I don't think when I go on vacation, I rarely turn on a TV.
Yeah.
But
unless I really don't like the people I'm with.
Mm. I vacation alone a lot, so there's no...
Hey,
yeah.
You'd like the person you're with.
Always, yeah. Always kind of.
Yeah.
I always kind of like myself when I'm with it.
But it goes both ways. You're kind of like, self, I like you. Self, I need a break. Too bad you're me.
Too bad we're here now.
Yeah.
I actually did take a trip to Canada last year in which... I had all these plans for the first day. It was kind of too annoying to get through them. So I ended up just checking into a hotel and watching, instead of American Pickers, the History Channel show about two dudes who go around the country looking for old junk in people's neighborhoods.
Yeah, I've seen that show once or twice.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of watching that, I watched Canadian Pickers, which is two Canadians who go around Canada.
So what's the
junk.
Difference?
A lot
like,
of old
did
hockey
feel?
Equipment that they
same
upon.
Type of junk. Same type of like just gas
and cars. Were the characters the same or were they a little bit
They were
like...
a little more like Canadian cowboys, which is a thing.
Wow.
I think junk is international. I think that it kind of like, it transcends boundaries.
If you're a Canadian cowboy, do you say yee-ay?
It's cute.
Yay.
Did we pick a person to summarize?
No. Does anyone want to more than anyone? Like, because I have notes, I can go through it.
High stakes.
Quick. Ooh.
What? No.
I feel like if we have the first episode of a new season, it should be our host, Moosh, who does it.
Nah, I'm good.
Our fearless leader.
Nah. The only notes I have for structure is I think we're going to do like a second half where we like go into the songs a little more.
Oh.
But we'll do recap like we normally do.
These songs were so great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can stumble through it.
Yeah, and we'll all just jump in.
Sure.
So. But it was called Josh's Ex-Girlfriend Wants Revenge.
And no one knows
Revenge, which is not the French word, but it's close to the French word. But the actual French word sounded like a...
Jeez.
Yeah.
Was it Lavange or something?
It's Vengeance or something like that. I looked it up with subtitles. It's Vengeance.
Okay.
See?
Ooh, of course it is.
Yeah, Vengeance. a very aged, beautiful cheese.
You get a lot of...
Possibly
genius
a
vengeance in this episode.
Because it's so gouda.
So gouda.
Everyone loves a good cheese joke.
All right. So the show kicks off. Season 3. We're in the office, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. This is going to be bad. No, it's not. Sorry. All right. So we're in the office, and everybody, of course, is wondering, where's Rebecca? We open with a shot of packages on her chair at her desk, obviously accumulated for some weeks now. Nobody's heard from her. And then we end up over at Paula's desk. But, of course, somebody in the office, it's Maya, asking her for the thousandth time, where's Rebecca? Have you heard from her?
Because, read the sign with me, Maya.
Yeah.
I don't know where Rebecca is. Stop asking me. After we agreed to destroy Josh Chan, Rebecca excused herself to pee, and I haven't heard from her since. I do know she is alive because she liked my ice bucket challenge video from three years ago.
Beautiful.
Which is good because when they said ice bucket, I'm like, that thing isn't in fashion anymore. Mm-hmm. People don't do that. I'm like, oh, 3 years, that makes more sense.
Nope, they're on top of it.
That's what you do when you're sad and depressed and alone, right?
Yeah,
you check out your
going back.
You go back through your friends and you like I actually have that like inner turmoil sometimes where I'm having that moment. I'm like, oh, this is a really cute picture, but it's from 5 years ago.
Yeah, I can't look at that. I can't know that I was looking at something from that long ago. Yeah.
Oh, it just shows my state.
Do we
right
have
now.
That personal over Yeah, is our relationship that personal that they can know that I'm going through photos of theirs from five, six years ago?
Well, it's one of those things, like, if you see someone liking photos from that long ago, I think maybe you should be, like, entitled to call them or text them and be like, hey,
are you okay?
Apparently.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
What's up?
I feel like that recently happened in that Facebook announced, like, called someone out on it. They're like, did you know Jessica liked Shannon's photo? And you're like, aww. No, I didn't know. Why would I know that?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you like click on the link and it's a photo, you know, that Shannon posted.
They were helping
years
to like amplify the call for help.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This person
Facebook
needs everybody
like,
to intervene.
Wants
here.
All the mutual friends involved. And it's just like,
everybody, this person needs help.
Help them. Help them, please. Take them to brunch.
It takes a village.
Aw. That's what the song is, isn't it?
Oh,
I didn't make that connection.
Oh my god!
Wait a minute! Wait a minute!
It takes a village.
Takes a village,
man,
to get Rebecca through this. I'm gonna
this
write that
song,
down.
I love this song so much. We haven't gotten there, so I won't say why all the reasons, but I just
so then there's
so
a song.
Much love.
All right, so we're there.
Oh, that is the song. Okay, good. Which is like, so here's the great thing about it. Like, if you listen to it, it has like this whole Nightmare Before Christmas kind of feel to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Christmas, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Mm-hmm. A little bit, right? Okay, so you have Nightmare Before Christmas, which is like Halloween inspired, and you have Renfest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When have two better things been put together in life? Never. Ever.
I wish I had as much joy for it. Cause
it was like a hug for my soul.
I loved the dancing. I loved the expressions on everyone's faces. I loved the costumes. I loved how they moved the costumes. But for me, like that genre of like, it's like two things. It's men in tights, Robin Hood men in tights.
Yeah.
And it's also
tights.
When they made the show Gallivant, which still might be on the air. But that
Never
was.
Never been heard of this.
Oh my God. It was CBS maybe. But it was...
Is this 90s or 2000s?
No, this was like 2 years ago. So right around the time this show came out,
There
was another musical TV show that was on air. But this one was like all just like sarcastic medieval stuff.
And I don't know how that would go.
It's just, it's a very specific audience. So then I feel like that... I'm not
specific than Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, apparently.
Well, no, but I don't know. Just who... Oh God. Just anyone who would enjoy that. It's fine. It was like because I watched like a season with my best friend but
old timey sarcastic sounds perfect.
I don't know. I wasn't like it's not my style. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and Heather when she's dancing in this,
she's
like
great.
You can tell that like she loses the whole Heather persona and she just goes straight to the actress goes straight to her real personality. She's like, I love to dance. I gotta jam this out,
mm-hmm.
And I just love that about her.
Well, you get to see their talents come through in some of those. Performances when you see like you know the depth of their training as actors and performers the songs and dances.
One of the ones that's been on Broadway or no?
I'm looking this up.
I'm not sure. She went to Juilliard. Okay. I know that.
So she may not have, but she's very talented.
Yeah.
So.
And White Josh finally got a line by himself. Like when he's been in songs, he's kind of sung in the background or just kind of. You know, did background stuff, mm-hmm. And he got a line by himself.
God, it was one of the first ones too, wasn't it? It was like
relatively early in the song.
Yeah, one of the first songs.
I like that they blend like, you know, the two different time periods because the main idea of the song is, you know, where's a woman's pride without her man? This very dated idea that a woman needs a man in order to be, you know, stand up or to have, you know, she's got to be dependent upon a man in order to you know, succeed or.
Which is also probably why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But also.
Well, but they,
It's coming from Rebecca's perspective.
Yeah.
As like, oh, everyone must think I'm just totally at a loss and
yeah.
have this antiquated idea about it. So
yeah, because I've disappeared because this man left me. So it mm-hmm. must seem that I, you know, needed this man in order to be independent. But it takes mm-hmm. a great turn when do I succumb or do I fight back?
Mm-hmm.
Fight back. And she says it a few times.
I have
and then
that
we transition.
Clip, super cool.
Yes.
And actually, maybe it's not as strong audibly as it is with her facial expressions,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which we'll notice in this moment, but or maybe listeners will too. But yeah, it's like really, really good acting in this moment. So yeah, this mm-hmm. is Rebecca fights back.
I said just Jan must be destroyed. Then I ran away like some scared little boy. I want revenge for my broken heart. But I'm so devastated, I don't know where to start. My defenses are down after his sneak attack. Do I let him win or do I fight back? Fight back. Fight back. Fight back.
And she decides to fight back in that moment.
Yeah. yeah.
So I feel like that the show is geared toward a certain maybe audience that doesn't have a total maybe grasp on independent, like needs some input from an influential figure, like a stronger female character,
mm-hmm.
to kind of give them the perspective of when you're in this situation, you can, you know, you don't have to, I don't know how to say it. You don't have to wallow, or you can find your independence through
yeah.
it, I guess. You know, you don't.
Have they been lacking this all along, or are you just saying Rebecca's that character?
Well, I think she tries to display that, obviously, at times. Like, I think the mm-hmm. purpose of the song is put us in a situation where we display that maybe this is, you know, what's happening with her. And mm-hmm. she does kind of tend to behave in that way where you know, I mean, like when she went through that thing with Greg and Josh, and she was like, "Who am I now? I don't know who I am mm-hmm. without them." You know, I think she puts herself out there as an example of somebody going through that, so that she can display how to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is one of the many intentions of the show is to show a character who's gaining, you know, strength and independence.
Yeah, with each breakup, she's getting more.
Yeah.
Quicker to her feet to come back around
yes.
to fight for herself.
Are you saying it's kind of like this is a muscle, and so the more she uses the muscle,
the better she is at coping with
the better
problems.
She's at coping. Like this is like what happens to people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
By the way, Vella Lavelle, who plays Heather. She was a concert pianist.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So cool.
And then she just gave that up, and she decided to do acting and said, not just gave that up. She probably realized, you know, she's
got
to dance.
She's got
and
other
you
stuff.
You can't dance when you're playing a concert piano.
Unless you got, like, maybe a little piano you can strap to your chest or something.
I guess,
or, like, right on, like,
maybe.
On your stomach or something.
But then you're still,
like
your
a
movements.
Piano belt. If you had a piano belt.
But your movements are still, like, she'd have to, like, keep her shoulders down. And she'd have to do, like, a river dancey kind of dance.
It would be very,
yeah.
Yeah. Be very stiff.
And she and you see, like, in the way that she's dancing, that she dances with freedom. Freedom
yes.
of movement that comes from not being hindered to a piano.
It is the right kind of, it's the dance where you let yourself go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And she's got that good line, too, where she's, what is it?
I just like the rhyme.
Yeah, I think I have a hunch.
I think,
yeah. Like, oh, I just like the rhyme.
Yeah. But she would have a hunch, if anyone would have a hunch in the situation
yes.
where Rebecca would be.
It'd
and
be
oh,
her.
To paint the full story, too, I guess we should paint where Rebecca has been. She hasn't been in some medieval town. She hasn't been at a Ren fair. She's been in, like, a hotel and suites, checked in for 2 weeks,
yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
locally in her own town.
My reason for living has abandoned me.
Mm. Yeah. And she's wallowing in self-pity. Not answering phone calls, not talking to anyone, we assume.
But then she transforms from a victim to a woman scorned.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how she shows that? By dyeing her hair dark brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know you're evil.
Yes. So motivating.
Yes. I dyed my hair black one time. I felt evil. No, mm-hmm. I didn't. It was actually just really fun. But
it is fun.
Yeah. My friend, one of my friends looked at me one day and he's like, "You got to stop dyeing your hair out of black, Shannon." And I was like, "Aw, okay."
Why? Just because you looked evil?
I don't know. I guess, like, well, I have very sensitive skin, so I was starting to feel dizzy more often anyway, so I probably needed to stop. But no, like, he could tell that my hair was dyed out of a box, and he was like, you gotta stop that. Aww. It shows. I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, I guess.
Whatevs.
This is also where we've gotten all our promo video or promo pictures for the first half of their marketing blitz.
Yeah.
Before this past week. But we were getting a lot of pictures of, like, the medieval stuff. And then in the song, she, like, puts on a robe and, like, runs to the drugstore to get...
With the hat that says bride?
Yes. So she's, like, in a...
Oh, when she buys the hair dye.
Yeah, when she buys the hair dye. She's
And black nail polish. Evil. Yeah.
And movie rental. Or rentals.
Yes! Fatal Attraction and Basic Instinct? Mm-hmm.
Two movies I don't remember seeing, so I have to watch them now. Just for research.
I'm sure we were just talking about this before. Like, I had just watched Fatal Attraction not long ago because it's one of those movies that everyone's like, you gotta watch this.
Mm-hmm. It has been held.
Have you guys seen it?
In the 90s, it was held as, like, a prime example of that, like, vengeful kind of, I guess, woman scorned or something like that.
Yeah, that whole message of don't cheat on your wife or you're going to get rabbit in your boiled pot.
Yeah.
Basic Instinct had
eat
kind
a rabbit
of
or something.
A flawed idea, too. That
Well, the child has a rabbit, and so the scorned woman, like, boils the rabbit in a pot. And
child's
the father
rabbit?
Finds it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So good times.
And the child blamed his father forever. Maybe. I don't know.
Probably. I don't know.
I mean, it definitely probably screwed him up, but who knows to what extent.
There's so much with that movie, too. Like, I'm going to spoil it.
Yeah, go for it.
Because why not?
Do it. It's been, like, what, 25 years?
If you haven't seen it,
if
you want
it's
spoilers.
Being parodied in a sitcom, I should have seen it by now. So, yeah, I'll absolutely talk about it.
Okay, so Douglas, whatever, Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Glenn Close, and then whoever the wife is, Michael Douglas's wife. So the end scene goes because, like, Michael Douglas and the wife, he's told the wife, like, oh, I had this thing with this woman, and now she's, like, coming after us. My bad. And so Glenn Close tries to get into the house, and then there's this, like, epic battle between wife and mistress, right? And so...
Wait, so Glenn Close is the mistress?
Glenn Close is the mistress.
So the woman scorned is a mistress?
Yep.
Yep. That's even funnier, like, symbolically.
It seems like it's a very, like, it feels so biblical in a way where it's just like, don't do anything bad out of marriage.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to stab someone in a bathtub.
Well, even for this show, like, Rebecca was engaged to be his wife. Like, she was on the side of right, but she's taking the stance of a mistress. That's really funny.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. Like, but, I mean, you think about it, she was the mistress to an extent.
To Jesus?
Oh, no. I love it. No, but, I mean, like, so Valencia and Josh were together, and she weaseled her way in. Pretty much, right?
She did.
So she was the mistress. Yeah, she got married to the person. She was trying to get married to this person, but all intents and purposes, she was kind of
She was
like,
the mistress.
Yeah.
And she was the mistress with Robert.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes! Oh, and she didn't, she you know, she didn't get to do her full mistress duty because, I mean, he's still alive, so. She's still alive. We think you're right.
We don't actually know. We know she burned his house down.
Burned his house down.
Could have been, or his apartment, his, like, mistress apartment.
Little pig, let me come in. Not by the hair of my chin.
I wonder if later in the season, maybe we'll get, like, she'll track down Robert.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to.
We have to. He's been brought up too many times.
Yeah. Someone's going to have to. Well, actually, we saw his face, too. So I was like, who is your dream cast for Robert? We've seen him. It doesn't matter.
Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty great. And he's versatile, and he's a beautiful man.
And he's in a lot of romantic comedies.
Yeah,
and
it'd be nice to see him on the other side.
Yeah.
Because he always plays the sweet guy.
I'm thinking of the other one, Hugh Grant.
Grant, yeah.
Oh. I was like, Hugh Laurie, not Hugh.
Oh, Laurie
would be good, too. But
Hugh Laurie would be great.
But Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. Yes. I just think of him in Notting Hill. Makes me so happy inside.
I think of About a Boy, because that one's actually really good.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
And I probably connect to it a lot, too, because it's about just someone living their life trying to be as like independent and single as possible, and then people slowly getting in and evolving. So I'm like, oh, this is a good. He's a jerk, but he learns to be good, kind of. Through like a suicide of attempt of a woman, and there's just a child. Wears us down, he buys a he buys a kid nice shoes, and the shoes get stolen. I think like lots of good lessons.
We try to be all strong and cold hearted, and then like humanity just weasels its way
in. And right. You're like, okay, I guess I'll care.
All right, I won't
like
be a sociopath.
Droplets on a stone before you know it.
He's got some great line in there. I mean, obviously he didn't write this movie, but the character has this great line about how he's like so alone and so independent, and he's so good at being alone and not working a job that he like allots his time as like chunks of time rather than like hours. So like, you know, a bath is like two chunks of time and eating food is one chunk of time. And it's just so sociopathic and beautiful. I really love it.
That actually sounds like something I would love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was independently wealthy because his father wrote some kind of Christmas song.
Oh,
he was still getting he was getting royalties, so he didn't have to work.
Yeah, which is somehow a cute. I mean, I still assume this is like a cute romantic comedy, but it's not. Like, it's actually very just a movie at this point.
Well, but they made a TV series off of it, I think.
They did.
That's what that was based on? The TV show was
It must have been based off that movie. Yeah,
because okay.
It's got the same style of like Sweater
that.
Kid.
But in
I
that
one. The show,
yeah, so did I.
It was, I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. But in that one, it wasn't his dad's royalties. He was the winner with the Christmas song.
Yeah.
The kid was? Or
No.
Oh,
the kid, it was
the,
his name.
The guy.
The neighbor. Yeah, okay. So there was a single mom just
Minnie
moved
Driver.
Into a home. Yeah, Minnie Driver with her son. Small kid. He was what? First, second grade? Something like that. 9 years old.
He wasn't old enough to drive.
No.
So
he was smart enough to drive, though.
Under than that. Or to do the Rebecca Bunge, he was older than three and younger than me.
Yep. Absolutely.
But their neighbor who they moved in next to was a guy who'd written a Christmas song and was living off of the money from it.
Nice.
And he befriends the boy and he's a womanizer and has
So same premise.
Okay.
same thing actually. Now I gotta watch the TV show.
Now I gotta watch the movie.
Yeah. I got so much homework. So
I have
so
the
much.
Movie.
Oh, do you?
Hey.
Aww. Everyone have a Fatal Attraction
time and Angela.
And I haven't seen it.
You know what? I might have Basic Instinct.
Ooh. Hey.
Movie party.
That's one of them, yeah.
Sleepover, everyone.
Note to self, sleepover movie party. Yes, girlfriend.
Everybody wear their white dress.
Quote, unquote.
Oh, yes! White dress
the
and lots of rosé.
Yeah.
We can have it at our house and you can meet Cheech.
Yeah. Who wears an ironic white fur coat because he's really evil.
Oh,
but
yes!
He looks pure and angelic.
So ironic.
Oh. So we've kind of gotten to that scene already. Like she reveals herself to the office.
Yes.
She does like a fake Google calendar, invites everyone. Or
they don't know who sent
the
meeting. They just know there's a meeting.
They know there's a meeting. And everyone, I feel like, would have been in on this. They would have been like, I think it's Rebecca.
But in city
they're all
business,
just like,
nobody
no.
figured it out.
No one figured it out. Paula's like, I'm going to leave. Like, everyone should have known.
Not so fast, Mama.
Nathaniel thinks it's a Daryl thing.
Yeah. Daryl's so excited. He's like, I have a thing? What other things do I have?
Tell me all about myself.
Asking too many questions? Is that one of my things? Is that a thing of mine?
I get that way. Someone says something like, oh, that's, you know, that's you. I'm like, really?
Really?
I have a pattern of behavior?
Yes. And then I can totally understand Daryl in that sense where it's like, why? What is it? What about this makes it like me? Can you tell me more? I want to decide. I want to be able to write it down in a book. Can you like give it to me in specific detail?
You care enough about me to notice?
Yes,
this is awesome.
I know.
Make me feel important, please.
Yeah. But it was super cute. Rebecca, turns around, reveals herself as evil.
I know.
Yes.
My hair is dark and I look evil, but I'm wearing white. That's ironic.
The sinister smile and the bright lipstick and...
And she brought in her own chair.
Yeah.
And she's been there.
And she got to work on time.
No, she was
early.
There since 5 a.m., brought her own chair to do that dramatic turn.
But she's not tired because she's been taking cat naps.
Super sexy. Super sexy way to put that.
Wow.
And then as they clear out, you get like a little scene with Nathaniel and Rebecca where suddenly... this is when actually in the car, as was hanging out watching a bunch of promo for the show, like before it premiered, because I didn't watch any promo before it did. I didn't want as much as I'm like, I like spoilers, I kind of wanted to take it fresh. So I've been trying to catch up and like, well, when they go on to Access Hollywood, what do they say? Or when they go on to a morning show, what do they say? And one of the clips of the show is a scene where Rebecca's just – or Nathaniel's just like, you know, you can't not answer your phone. You have to answer your phone or like at least send a thank you note for these bath salts and like
– and artisanal
pears.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Artisanal pears.
Let's all say it together. Artisanal pears.
Artisanal pears. Oh, crap.
Yeah. So you have to at least do that. Oh, and then she's like, oh – you send me girly things. It's so cute. Oh,
I'm so sad.
And then she was like, I emerged from the female cocoon of submission as a scorned butterfly. There's an eternal flame around me. Like, just all these like crazy metaphors. And
well, it's great because a lot of this stuff, like, you know, you see her taking some power, I guess, from him. And she's the woman on fire. Like, I know there's a, I don't know, there's a movie out there called Man on Fire. It's like she's kind of taking all these things, I think, that are typically like given to a male character, and instead she's taking him on herself. Like,
this girl is on fire.
It's weird though, because she's always had power in that office. Yeah. Even when he came, she had the power to bring in new business and save people's jobs.
But she did quit first, and he was just going to let her walk out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was, you know, then it was, I'm going to fire everybody. Like, he, you know, yeah, he kind of
he had a sense of power, but like she's always actually been in control.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see that she takes on this persona of mega bitch in control.
Yeah.
And she didn't need to. Like, she's always been, I don't know, but now that she's displaying in a very like male way that she's, you know,
I
superior.
Got the power.
Even asking him to turn around and walk slowly so she can watch his butt.
Yes. And then she doesn't even watch, she turns around.
And he covers up his butt as he's walking out.
So that's all that's happening.
Oh.
We learn about feminism.
At its finest.
And men get to learn how it feels to be objectified, which really, it's not great. It's not. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
I always feel strange when somebody tries to, I mean, I don't take compliments well to begin with, but when somebody tries to
watch your ass,
well, or whatever, just objectify me in some way, it doesn't, it feels kind of
irksome.
Is there something you need to talk about, guys? If you need to book you a therapist.
No, that's why we're here.
Objectifying,
we figured we could work this in while we're, you know, on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Two birds, one stone.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's the same
Tell
difference.
Me more about this act that happened. Did you slap his ass? Or
do you objectify him in front of his coworkers, or or is it in private?
Yes, tell us more about this objectifying.
I'm like a human bongo.
So is that saying that you like the drums? If you were in a band, does that mean you'd be percussion?
I thought I liked the drums, but now I'm not so sure.
I want to be the bass player.
Play me like a bass.
Because you know it's all about that bass.
The bass.
Nah. We took it so many directions and so fast.
And then Rebecca has another meeting in the same room.
Yeah.
And
yes, Nathaniel clears the room, and some of them are like, well, wait, I'm in the next meeting. What's the next meeting? Don't worry about it. Get out of here.
Yeah,
and so they're all wearing suit jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the women are wearing suit jackets.
I mean, this is a good scene in general, because Rebecca is confronting her girl squad about what, like, I'm back.
And they've been waiting for this.
Waiting
like, there's been this build of, like, what is it going to be?
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do to Josh Chan?
What is the genius that you've come up with for us?
Going back to the suit jackets, I think Heather got hers off a scarecrow.
Yes. Yes. That is 100% my favorite part.
And I was like, it's a good thing your arms are so long. It looks really nice on you. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that also Paula, before, like, in season two, she was not part of the girl squad, right? Like, she was the outsider. And by the way, we haven't seen Sunil ever again. Like, whatever happened to him?
He might come back. Who knows?
Maybe.
He dropped out of law school.
Oh, no. He ran out of toilet paper. He didn't know what to do.
He chased his dream of being a theater professional.
Have that dream.
But Paula was, she wasn't really part of the girl squad, right? She was an outsider. And somehow this devastation.
Tragedy brings them together.
And now they all are like official girl squad.
We have to unite around our friend and try to support her. That's
a common goal. Mm-hmm. A common hatred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what brings people together. Sad truth.
Yep. This also, I feel like all of this is in direct violation of the shenanigans clause.
Oh, like, man. Well, like, you know.
I mean, yeah. She's just thrown that contract out the window.
This girl's on fire. It's an emergency.
It probably has some fault. Yeah, there was some fine print.
There was an emergency section in case of jilted lover situation.
It's a textastrophe. My friend liked my video from 3 years ago.
But she does that. Contract's out.
Contract's out. Well, Sunil took it. He's off somewhere. He ate it.
She's got a new contract, too.
Sunil, where'd you go?
Oh. So in her meeting, everyone's like waiting for this moment where she's going to
And it's great because we are, too.
Like, we have been.
They're being our like conduit. Mm-hmm. Like, yes,
and we've had like three scenes, too, where like, okay, just get to it. Yeah. Like, and we know you're scorned.
She builds it up really well.
Yeah.
Just
kind of like we are right now.
Yeah. Yes. The Chan plan. And they all clap. Mm-hmm. They're like, yes, this is great.
This is great. Little boardroom clap.
Yeah, a little boardroom clap. And then she says delicious, and Heather's like, don't say that. It makes me feel like someone just licked me.
which is really great. If you sit there and think about somebody just licking you, you can feel that. And it's like,
And then she brings up a word that most of us probably don't know.
I've heard it before.
Yeah, what was everyone's reaction to the word coprophagia?
Yeah. Which I've heard, I think in the past I've actually, like, I used to know the definition.
I know what this is. Something eating, right?
It sounded vaguely familiar, but.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it. Yeah, eating, but it was like, I don't spend a lot of time with poop and poop jokes.
Yeah.
And so it was new to me.
But since Crazy Ex-Girlfriend,
Crazy
Poop is now my best friend.
Yeah. That does poop jokes in a great way. Makes them into muffins.
Yeah, like make poop cupcakes.
Yeah.
I made mine muffins. Smell first.
Exactly. Because anyone who gets mysterious muffins and is told don't smell them, of course you're going to listen. Yeah. Smell
I eat all muffins initially with my nose plugged. And then,
I don't want to know ahead of time if I'm going to die or have diphtheria.
I like to make up my own flavors. Like, I kind of just imagine what it might taste like. And that way, if it's a disappointing, you know, muffin or cupcake.
Speaking of things that smell, Shannon and I tried a vodka.
Oh, no.
A pungent vodka?
It was a pungent vodka.
Cheese vodka?
It smelled
that
really
smelled
good.
Delicious.
Oh, really?
Speaking of, like, smelling things first, yeah, we're like, oh, what is it? We're like, okay, it's mango habanero.
Damn.
Of course we want to try it.
Yes.
It sounds insane. We want it.
And it smells just like mango.
And it smells like mangoes, but it burns.
Oh, no.
Yes, when you drink it, like,
it burns like vodka and habanero.
Oh, joked about the fact that my tongue was so numb that I was going to, like, come and be talking like this. But it was such a lie, right?
Do not smell first.
Yes.
Let's put a sign on
there. It should have been it. Yes, it should have been a don't smell first because we wouldn't have been so well in to submission.
We would have thought of it more as a spicy drink instead.
Yeah. Instead we're like, oh, but it smells habanero sweet, so subtle. Yeah. It's just like on the side. It'll give a little like background kick.
Everyone should try it now.
Like a rocket.
Yeah. If it didn't smell so sweet, we wouldn't have been burned.
That's right. We were totally burned.
Fucking burned.
Like scorned lovers.
That's what we're going to get to sponsor this show.
Oh, yes, please. That'd be so great. Habanero mango vodka. Burned like a scorned lover. Sponsor of Crazy X Pod.
Also sponsored by Caprophagia.
For those times when you just got to poop in a bag.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so the plan is poop muffins in case muffins. That whole thing wasn't clear.
It was poop cupcakes. I said
poop
muffins.
Sorry.
Poop cupcakes. Cupcakes is so much worse, though. Oh, I hate it.
So would you frost those? That's the question.
That's why I hate it. I don't want to think about the frosting.
Would you frost the cupcakes?
I feel like that's what you're frosting it with.
Oh, no! Oh, then it's like the blender. This is so bad. Brain stuff
I'm
is
sorry.
Bad.
Oh. I'm sorry to like make it graphic, guys.
I think there's got to be a filling, right? And not like.
Oh, guys! You know, there's special plungers for that, too. Oh. Plunge it right in.
Oh, little gooey center.
Oh, alien, save me, $29.99.
Oh, jeez.
Drove her to drink.
What's funny is, like, in a way, that idea kind of fits the character just because she's emotionally like undeveloped. Like she's kind of, she's like an emotional child in a lot of ways. So for her to suggest that, it almost kind of fits. Like
it does. It, you know, and they actually put like really like drive that home later in the episode. Yeah. So in case like everyone's like, I don't know, Jim, that doesn't sound good. Like, no, I think the writers intentionally know she's so underdeveloped that eating poop is like best revenge.
It's like the Billy Madison thing, right? Like Billy Madison again trying to show how young he is, and he puts poop on a doorstep.
Yeah.
Got a laugh from Jess. Well,
and it also shows kind of how her mental state is really, really degraded because she thinks it's a good idea, like even that rational part of the brain is not on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even a 16-year-old might go, well, I don't know about that. That seems like kind of a 12-year-old thing to do. Yeah.
I knew plenty of 16-year-olds who were doing that when we were in
make poop muffins.
Memories.
And then lighting them on fire and putting them on people's porches.
No wonder you hate your hometown.
Dear Diary, my hometown was full of 16-year-olds who put poop and doorsteps, and then they lit it on fire.
We did a lot of... I mean, I didn't do that, but there were a lot of just really dumb things.
There was talk about marshmallows. I told him it was a bad idea.
Our pranks were so lame. We'd like go to someone's house and then like blare a horn and then like crank the radio and then run around the car. Because that's a prank. That's not just, I don't know, being obnoxious.
Loud running.
Look back, I'm like, that's not a prank, guys. Like, that doesn't put anyone in danger. That doesn't.
You guys, we made the radio go so loud. It was so loud. I think
I did seven laps.
They didn't even see us. We were running so fast.
And it was dark, you guys. We were like masked by night, like Batman.
So cool. But because that plan is so lame, Paula just is like, you know, whatever your next plan is, we're going to support
Dangerous.
It's not going to be bad. We'll just support anything that comes out of your mouth. And the next plan is to actually do that. I don't know if they get into it here, but.
Well, they go to Rebecca's desk and she gets on the phone.
She gets on the phone to cast a Josh lookalike.
Casting Call magazine or something like that, or. Yeah,
but,
calls
but
in and,
what are they casting for? Just like a bubble double mint gum commercial, maybe?
And I Hate Jesus sex tape.
Oh my God! What?
Lordy.
Lordy, yes, dear Lord. How is it I Hate Jesus sex tape? What are they going to do?
They're going to yell, I hate Jesus, while having sex.
Oh, my God. Why? Well, because when you're in the middle of the act, you're the most honest. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Because I've always yelled, I hate Jesus during orgasm, you know, of course.
Yes, during orgasm. I just, like, yell my deepest, darkest secrets
when stuff like that
time.
Comes out, it's probably, like, going really well.
There's a lot of conversations afterwards that are like, where did that come from? Is this going to happen every time? Just things like, you know, the usual.
No, but that's when you pull the Paula, when you're just like, I don't know what happened. Yeah. I never want to talk about it again.
How many times can you pull that card, though? Like, how many times can you be like, I don't want to talk about that again? At some point,
as many times as you have to.
I feel like it's the five-finger discount, right? Like, you get five of them. You get five, I don't want to talk about that. And after that point, something has to drop. You only have so many fingers. You're not an octopus, goddammit.
This is the sixth weird thing you've mentioned during coitus.
So let's readdress the other five and this one and tell me which one we're not going to drop anymore.
Yeah, now we got to talk about one.
Which one are we picking up?
We're not saving the condom.
Oh man. Oh, life is good. Life is just so good.
There was something about now after the poop thing, eating ants sounds reasonable.
Oh, it does. Yes. Especially with caraway, dates, and cinnamon.
Speaking of how cute delicious. That is. So what is this? This is Josh's idea.
Yeah, white Josh.
White Josh, yeah.
So So he's been, yeah, he's
sorry, I'm dropping his race because I didn't see it anymore. But
you don't see race.
Not anymore. I've gotten to know him.
Well, we don't even know his last name. You can't call him by first and last. Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Wilson! Aw. Yeah, let's call him Wilson then.
So cute Wilson. Cute Josh. Josh Wilson pitching his business idea to his cute boyfriend, Daryl.
Josh Wilson, hang on. Wilson, W-I. Why Joe is actually Wilson Josh.
Oh, it's super cute, too.
Oh, jeez.
That's super cute.
Your mind is just blown, isn't it?
Yeah.
Super blown.
Continue on. I was just like, well, you guys, White and Wilson have the first same two letters.
It honestly does.
Oh, my God.
It's so intentional.
What about the H?
We ignore it now.
Oh, okay.
It's silent.
We don't address silent letters.
It's Josh Wilson.
Wilson.
So I think I got the moment where Daryl is tasting ants, but I'm not actually sure anymore.
Yes.
They're in protein bars.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I guess we should, again.
Well, of course,
and we don't know
Josh,
ants
anything,
have a lot of protein,
he's gonna make
though.
Protein bars.
Yeah.
So I think amassed ants, like if you crush enough ants together, you probably get 50 grams of protein out of it.
Well, yeah,
a little paste.
But I like his idea that ant protein, the most powerful protein on Earth. Is that true? I have no idea, but I do know ants are as strong as hell.
I love it.
Valid enough.
Justification.
Valid enough. Yeah.
How many grams can they lift? That's how many grams of protein I got. Bam.
That's a great marketing thing. they like blew over that.
Yeah, FDA doesn't approve this.
There's probably edible ants. Grade ants, right?
But then also, don't they say that like FDA or something like protein drinks and stuff like that don't go through the same regulations as other things?
No,
so really,
don't.
You can make
a lot,
stuff.
A lot of those
something...
supplements aren't even evaluated.
Yeah,
evaluated by the FDA.
Something just came out as having lead in it. So
what?
It
what?
Was I don't know.
Oh, no.
I'm so bad with things. I'm so bad with things.
What if I was
We hope you're not
it?
Eating it right now. We don't know what
like,
it is. But
what if
you're eating something
lead?
Healthy, just put it down.
It was
I'm like a pencil.
Hang on.
Number two.
It wasn't muscle milk, right?
No, it was.
Thank God. That's the one I drink, too.
Because they're so delicious.
They're so good.
Oh, my God.
And they have, like, the 100-calorie one.
Yeah. And, like, 1 gram of sugar.
Yes.
And I'm, like, getting my belly.
I know.
Hello, breakfast.
Snack. Yeah.
Oh, my phone died. I want to say it was one that was, like, repped by some radio station and or alt-right movement.
Crap.
I'm just talking shit on someone. But.
That's right.
That sounds
hey, as long
that
as
sounds...
it's not muscle milk,
I'm just going to say it was an alt.
Right, Jess?
It was
not muscle milk. I'm good.
It was
not that.
Republican Party endorsed health foods. All had lead.
Yeah,
sorry, guys.
If it was endorsed by a Republican,
and
stop.
On small print inside of it, it said, I hate Jesus.
They didn't even know.
Or it was from a gas station. I don't really know. So many questions I don't have answers
you
to.
You know what's disappointing? Sometimes, like, well, one time I went to a gas station. I wanted to, like, get, like, a can of beer. Just a can of beer. Mm-hmm. I wanted just a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
They didn't have any alcohol. And I was like, you're a gas station. This is your duty. And then I went to the gas station next door, and they had the same thing. No alcohol.
Is
like,
that
well,
a
law? I think it used to be a law. That you gas stations couldn't sell booze.
Yeah, I think Michigan may not. Have
well, they
booze.
Lifted that.
They did. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You can
but
find booze
But not everyone
all over
probably
gas
does it
now,
yet.
But yeah, I think it's probably
for sure
up to
Ohio.
The
you can buy
do.
Booze in gas stations.
Sure, you can.
Pennsylvania for sure. You can't even buy like wine in a grocery store. Like
where wow. Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got their own. Liquor
they got
stores
their
that
like crazy
like, state.
I think Georgia has the same thing too.
Georgia's the same. It was like Sundays you couldn't. So
Kentucky.
These are all places I've lived too, so I'm just like really
you lived in
bitter.
Georgia?
I lived in Georgia, so I'm just like really bitter about not being able
did
to buy certain types of alcohol,
peaches?
Certain places.
Did you do like
peaches
art school
all the time.
Down there?
I did do art school down there.
Aww. Was it Savannah something?
College of Art and Design.
Okay.
Yep.
Peaches scared. Come from a can. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown. You guys, if I had my little way, I'd eat peaches every day.
Okay,
sun
so,
soaked and honey in those shade.
Back to the show.
You guys want to hear Daryl? Let's hear Daryl because he's cute.
Okay, so Daryl, of course, can't help but start making baby metaphors.
Yes, and that might also be what this is. So let's listen to this clip just because I don't remember what I'm setting up for. And we've set up both possibilities at this point.
Well, I think that's because you need some millions of peaches.
Millions of peaches to remember. But yeah, this is Daryl and White Joe being cute. Josh being cute. Aw.
Most protein bars are just candy-coated sugar, but these bars are different. These bars contain the purest, the most powerful form of protein on Earth. Ant protein.
Is that true?
I have no idea, but I do know that ants are strong as hell. Anyway, okay, give it a try. I want your notes. I want your honest opinion. Give it to me.
Mmm. No, I like it.
Yeah?
No, I mean, I'm definitely getting the ants.
Okay.
But I'm also getting caraway.
Uh-huh.
And date.
Yes.
Oh, holy hell, here comes the cinnamon. Mmm.
It's good?
Oh, yeah.
You like it?
Oh, it's amazing.
All right, I don't have a name yet, but I think after 2 years, I finally nailed the recipe.
It's amazing. I am so proud of you, baby. You are taking this idea from conception to birth through childhood to a really moving high school graduation where it makes a speech about its two cool dads.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
Daryl, there is nothing I can say that you can't turn into a parenting metaphor.
I'm sorry, I can't help it. It just pops out of me head first.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
I can't talk about this anymore. We have talked birth to death.
Look, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Okay? Maybe we need help. Maybe we need to see a therapist.
Or you could, just stop it.
If you don't think that therapists are cool, maybe we could do something a little more current. You know, maybe we could go see a life coach or a psychic or an essential oil specialist.
Okay, none of those are things.
So that was the entire scene, basically.
Moosh, is it okay?
I think all we were missing was I could see my Reiki guy or something. He told me I have a ghost in my foot.
Yeah. There's like one line I like lobbed off there. It was the haunted foot.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh my God. I love those two again. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's great. So, but we get our B story now with these two.
Actually, I think that might be the C story because they keep throwing the Paula Scott crap at us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's like,
we just ignore it.
Did we brush?
We did not touch it. That was the second scene, so that would be the B story.
No.
Yeah.
But all you need to know is Paula and Scott are having troubles.
Yeah. And they have a contract.
There's a contract. There's a sign in binder where Scott has to sign in every night.
Yeah,
and she has a lie detector machine. She's given him two lie detector tests. I'm boring Moosh.
I know.
If he passes the third one, he's allowed back in bed.
And immediately, like, he talks about getting back in bed, and he's immediately going to, like, maybe, you know, we can, And I'm like, come on. I understand it's a defense mechanism, and this is your way of coping with things by trying to, like, make it right by just, like, covering up with more sex, but still.
Can't you see Paula is uncomfortable and unsure?
Yeah.
About everything.
Yeah, and, like, to jump ahead, because we don't care about the storyline anyway, like, they end up having sex, right? And it's like they just, it's.
Well, this was one of the things we can't talk about, or one of the five things you're not allowed to talk about because it's too weird. She asks him to call him Tanya.
Yes.
Yeah.
Heather gives a really good reason too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an excellent. They always give you like a weird psychological thing that people do, and then they give you like
Heather.
The realistic explanation of why that thing happens.
Yeah. You know? No, and it made a lot of sense. Like when she was saying why, not to mention they said Heather, when she's like, I think about being a life coach. I was like, yes!
I got close.
Or mine.
We didn't call that one, but we called life coach.
We called it so hard.
But yeah, Paula Scott, ugh.
I mean, you know, those two exist to give a contrast to another generation, you know, like they show that generation and then they kind of like bump it up against the younger representatives in the show.
But
and
I don't even want to believe they're a different generation because like it's only like a 10-year difference. So it's just
it's just a different
my age, I think.
Yeah. You're happy or you're not, but you stay together because that's what you're taught as a child.
Yeah. So I'd say it's more just upbringing or.
Yeah, good point. Like
something
upbringing
wouldn't go with generations.
Values.
Yeah,
because some people from from that generation are confused.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's really messed up, and I feel bad because like Paula's wasting her life away on Scott,
who's not. I mean, I'm about to defend him. I hate him, but also he's not that bad. Whatever.
Like, he's not that bad.
That's what the show does really well. Is it humanizes everybody? Mm-hmm. It gives them flaws that are kind of despicable in some ways, and then it gives them that human side where you're like, okay, they're all right.
Like, of course he's boring.
There
and
are a lot
him.
Of things that aren't that bad, like hoarding. Hoarding's not that bad. You can live with it. You know what else
unless
isn't that?
It's kittens, and what's then that? It's horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kittens, animals, aww. No.
But I mean, if we like discussed our flaws. How
let's
would they
not.
Compare?
No, let's not do that. You know what else isn't that bad? Being a Republican. It's not that bad. That's how I feel about Scott. Right there. Everyone got silent.
We're like, wait. Yeah.
It's just, it's a sad, sad relationship. What a sad way to live.
Yeah.
That's horrible to say. But it does. It feels bad. I feel bad for Paula because she like... She could be so happy otherwise. And I know she wants to be with him, but I feel like she wants to be with him more because, like, she doesn't want to be alone.
Well,
it's been something that's been
got,
so long.
They've got kids. Like, there are things that create some
and
emotional,
the words
like,
of Greg,
stakes or something.
Freaking do.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying that it makes it any, like, it justifies it, but I'm saying from their perspective, like, she's emotionally invested with
of
all
course.
Of that.
And
know.
I'm speaking from the perspective of, like, I don't have kids.
Yeah,
and
you're single and you're young and you don't have kids. Like, you know, everybody
here. Well, and there's also financial barriers to divorce, too, which, like, is incentive to give it another shot.
Mm-hmm. Plus, true. She said she missed him, but
yeah, you know what? I miss a lot of things, too. Like, I miss the pants I could wear in high school. You know, I miss the nights of all night karaoke and like staying up with the bar. And I might do that sometimes. But you know what? That doesn't.
But you're advocating growing up. And I feel like being with Scott is such a stupid grown up move.
It's like the grown up that we're all taught that we need to like fight against.
All right. I guess I'll
kill my happiness. Who really needs
I'll care about another person.
Finally,
I'll take their needs to an account. And then we'll compromise. And he'll do everything right, but it won't be good enough because he won't be from his own head. And it'll be fine.
You know, my therapist told me, well, not this therapist, a past therapist. Because I've had a few.
Just in case your current therapist is listening and like.
Exactly. And he'll be like, I didn't say that.
Stop putting words in my mouth.
You two talk a lot about this podcast.
Yeah. But like one of my past therapists. Had said that there's the one thing that this therapist said, right, like we didn't last long because it just didn't work, but said that there's a difference between settling and compromise. We say compromise way too many times when what we actually mean is I settled. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. That's actually some good advice.
Now take a few weeks to unravel that and come back and see me and then come back and see me again and then come back and see me again and then come back and see me again.
And just always address this problem and buy me a kayak.
Buy me a kayak.
Yeah, I've had multiple therapists too. Yeah. At one time, I was actually seeing two therapists at once.
Ooh. I had a friend who did that. Was she and her husband?
So dumb.
It sounds like an Archie comic. I love it.
I was that. It's really fun. It's comical for sure. Like I was even like, what the hell am I doing?
And would you like go into one and just kind of like slowly like say the other's worldview to see what the other one would say and like test him?
Testing this out. No,
like,
but
I'm not sure, but I might. Be settling. Is that weird? And then if he's on the same page, you know.
But guys, like, I have a therapist for the first time in my life that I actually enjoy. Like, we get along.
That's awesome.
I'm just putting that out there on the air in case he is listening. You're great. Never retire.
I have not found one I like.
Well, yeah.
The last one I ghost, like, straight up ghosted on. So
I ghosted a therapist one time, too.
I kind of think I did that.
I owed her money too. Sorry.
Oh no!
Whoops, a doodle.
Oops. I was like, I'll get you because it was like a cash system too. I was just like, I'll get you next time, and then having a bad day and just didn't feel like going, which is a good sign that that's not a good therapist. For you.
Check you
and
later.
I'm just not going to answer my phone for 3 weeks.
You know, I kind of did that with a Mary Kay person one time.
Ooh.
I was able to get some product, and I'll be like, I'll pay you later. I never did. So sorry.
You're on a Mary Kay blacklist.
Say that's straight up.
And you know what? Karma made it that I'm allergic to makeup. So damn karma.
So you paid in the end.
Paid in the end. And saved money in the end. It worked both ways.
Never have to buy makeup again.
Never bought makeup again.
Makes my face break out, makes me sad and alone.
So then I think we're at the audition, right?
Yes.
Is that where we are? Okay, so yep. Now we're at the audition for casting Josh in the revenge porn.
Fake Josh.
Casting fake Josh in the revenge porn video.
At this point, it's fake porn. There will be no actual intercourse.
It's gonna be,
with my quote fingers.
Well, no, I think they're still using the word sex tape, too.
Yeah.
Which is very Kardashian and Hulk Hogan and media superstar of them.
Yeah. And then someone is like, well, Rebecca, why do you have to be in the video then? And she's like, no, that's what makes it.
Verisimilitude.
Yeah. Where,
keep it similar.
We're getting some great words. Like, this is one of those, like, grad student, like, what's the grad test?
GRE.
It's GRE. Yeah. It's like, get ready for the GRE by watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Look that up. You're studying for the GRE by watching Crazy Ex. Everybody wants to go to grad school. Watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Because you're essentially preparing for the entrance exam.
You learn a little bit about law too.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
A little bit.
Like how? Like if coprophagia pops up on the GRE, you're going to be like, yes,
that's what it is. I got it.
So, outside of the audition door, we hear an actor screaming, I hate Jesus.
No! That's not right.
That's not the right way.
Oh, and Rebecca's being really like belligerent towards these actors and like, you can't have any water. And
she's taking out her scorn further on, you know, anybody who has, I guess...
technicals and sack of balls.
Male chromosomes, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah,
and then we get the best cameo of all time.
Yes!
We get Josh. Who's the actor?
Vincent Rodriguez.
Yes,
the third.
Playing fake Josh.
Yes, we get Vincent Rodriguez, the third.
Now he's British.
With a mustache. Some emo hair and a British accent.
Oh,
he's got the haircut that Valencia gave him, right?
Oh, my goodness.
It's the bangs down that she did. Yeah. She gave him. When they referenced it in an earlier season. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he smells like pencil shavings and vinegar. Oh. That's such a horrible smell.
It is. I can't even picture those two together. It's so bad.
Oh, I get overpowering vinegar like 100%. Pencil shaving just makes me feel like it's bumpy.
Ugh. It is gross.
Oh, like, but then also we get Nathaniel who comes to the house.
Mm-hmm. I have that clip because this is an awesome one. This basically, is
so Nathaniel's just out.
I
want to
talk about Josh for a second, more. This is just so fun because they let Vincent Rodriguez III do a British accent to be fake Josh, and then he goes through like a list of American accents that are all so bad and so good.
They're
and
all very similar as well. It's
like Boston, New York, and then like California Texas. Dude.
It's a great job doing this British accented guy's doing these bad.
His bad American accents for this stupid porno.
Can you imagine, like, actor who plays Josh, what I need you to do. Forget his name. I need you to be an American who pretends to be British, who then pretends to have an American accent.
Like, just go. It would be so fun. Like, did that come from the writers? Did that come from, like, this guy goofing around on set?
Aww.
I'm going to picture them both because it's all so fun.
Everything's great.
It's like, it's a good episode in a lot of ways, but then there's like that's one of the like really joyful moments where you're like, oh, it's still fun. Like they're not just gonna like revenge porn us out with like poop eating and stuff. Like there's still gonna be fun moments and goofy moments.
It's not all just revenge porn and eating poop, you guys.
it's not. And like before, it was like it's not just a musical, guys. Like now it's gonna be like it's not just eating poop. It's not just about poop.
It's not just about Aunt
The show's really
bars.
Good. I promise it's not about poop.
They just mention it a lot.
That might increase viewership if they emphasize the poop over the musical aspect.
Yeah. They're like, we have like 100 songs, but we've also mentioned poop 100 times.
That's right. We're going to put the tally up. How many times has poop been mentioned?
They're
How
trying
many
to
songs
make,
have they been?
They're trying to make poop highbrow. They're really trying to raise the bar.
Hey, and you know what? I get it. Some people still like highbrow joke people like poop jokes. I'm not one of them. I don't like write them on my own, but I like sex jokes, so I get that same like elevation of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, fucking poop jokes.
Fucking poop jokes. I'm normally like a, not a fan. I consider it to be like unclassy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like this show does it very nicely. And they give me musical songs, so
yeah, you'll
I'm okay with that.
But yeah, I have the whole the whole interaction between Rebecca and Nathan. I just want to call him Nathan, but
you can call him.
He's high class.
Like.
He's Nathaniel.
Nathaniel.
He comes over. He's like got his little running shorts on, a little like armband with his iPod on it.
Yeah.
He like runs over there to talk to
he's
Rebecca.
All sweaty.
And he's super sweaty.
And he's like, I'm on the way, and my phone just died.
Yeah. And this is Rebecca's response to that.
Wait. Wow. My phone ran out of juice. Really? Listen, buddy. You're talking to the queen of. I just happened to be here. Okay, I get what's happening. Listen, I know we kissed and you helped me with my dad and you were clearly developing some kind of sparkly little girl heart twinkly feelings for me. But then I came back as this espresso-haired vixen and you feel low status, which I get. I get it. Okay, status reversals. Oh, they're confusing and arousing and it's probably never happened to you before. So now you're understandably obsessed with me.
No, that's not it at all. Okay, not at all.
No, really. You're not mesmerized by my sudden lack of interest, my cold and available vibe?
No.
Yeah. Interesting, because your thin shorts say otherwise. Oh, listen. Listen, buddy. I would be happy to take you for a tumble sometime, but right now I'm really distracted with something else, so just move along.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's mean Rebecca, and also, like... is that the sexiest version of Rebecca we've gotten? Or
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then they did a playback to the song.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wanna have sex with you. Yeah,
I don't know what happened.
And so I was good. Like, I was so excited because I was looking over at Jim. I'm like, oh my god, it's a song!
Yeah,
yeah, the song. They do that a lot throughout the series. Mm-hmm. And, you know, play songs in the background that have been.
Well, yeah. I just never noticed that one. Yep.
I think we watched the show twice. And I caught it the second time that we went through it. I think.
Well, la-di-da.
I wasn't challenging you, Shannon. I'm sorry.
She wrote down the speech for where Rebecca is, so.
Damn straight I did.
So,
The actor who pretends to be Josh, who isn't Josh, Colin Crowley. So,
oh yeah,
yes. La-di-da. By the way, Moosh, I really like that when you cross things off, you cross them from right to left. I think that's adorable.
Why? What's weird about the opposite way?
Yeah. I was just watching you as you were crossing things off your paper, and
yeah,
I was like,
we did this clip. I guess that is backwards.
How fun is that? I don't do that. I go left to right.
Yeah, I've never noticed that. Is that a me thing?
That's a you thing.
Oh, it's a me thing. And I feel like Daryl. I feel so warm inside.
Oh, yay. And it's not just because of Mr. 2999.
No, it's, I mean, maybe it has a little bit with that.
Yeah, he has a little bit. We finished him.
We did
finished
him.
It was a Mortal Kombat thing.
Between Colin showing up and Nathaniel showing up, Rebecca stepped out of the room and Paula, Valencia, and Heather are like, okay, how long do we have to go through this? I want to slap her. And Paula's like, no, you know, I'm the parent. We just have to, like, walk the razor's edge and be patient and just, like,
somebody else. Yeah, because if you say no, then they're going to just want to do it more.
Yeah, exactly. We have to let her go, you know, carry it through to a certain point to where she realizes on her own this is absurd.
But she'll realize it, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. And they never anticipate that. I love how they advanced this, that, like, every time we see them together, they're like, oh, my God, I didn't think it would go this far.
Yes!
Because at this point, they're like, I didn't anticipate we'd find a guy who looks exactly like Josh. Yeah. You know? So they do it. Yeah, they do an awesome job at keeping this thing going in spite of her friends being like, we can't let this happen, but it keeps happening.
It keeps happening, and it's, yeah.
And talk about heightening, we then get a cut to Daryl in an Ant-Man costume.
So, yeah.
Because Josh was
the king of heightening. Daryl.
Well, Wycha was like, once I sell these bars, maybe then we can talk about babies. And so Daryl's like, okay, cool.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, Miguel gave me a design. I went and I tried to find out what was patented. And
I didn't know that anteaters honked.
I don't know if they do. I think he made up the sound. Oh, and then he was like, here's the, I went to the patent office and here's the things that were taken. Ant time, ant protein time, super good insect protein time, super good ant time. But guess what wasn't taken? Ant eater.
The most obvious and best.
And then I was just thinking about the fact that if you eat these bars and the bars are made of ants, then you're an ant eater.
Yeah.
I was like, and I remember watching it, and the first time I watched this episode, because I watched it twice as well, even though I didn't get the song. I remember just like hitting the couch and being like, oh my God, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. he's an idiot. It's okay. And the tag sticking out of the costume was so long.
I didn't notice that. That's so cute.
Aw.
Yeah. Fucking Daryl.
Yeah. And he's like handing these bars out to everyone that he meets. He's like, here, have this, have this, have a bar, have a bar. You want this? Oh, look, you need this.
It's going to be good. He's at, what is it, home base too? So like, giving it to like children athletes.
It's healthier than steroids. Here, take it.
Your mom will like it. It's organic.
Definitely tested. Yeah. Not in somebody guy's kitchen.
Yeah.
Or like, it was left in his office fridge.
Yes. Oh.
He's like, you took my bars out of your office fridge?
Because his dream interpreter said that Josh left them there for a reason.
Absolutely. Yes. That's who you follow.
Yes. And white Josh is like, okay, well, maybe we do need the therapist.
Yep.
I'll find him.
Yeah. Not any of that Reiki stuff.
Yes.
Reiki stuff. Yeah.
Not, he'll be a real therapist. And then I guess it's back to the sex scene, but this is like a filming day.
Yeah.
And this is where we get the Heather is a life coach line.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I guess Paula at some point tried to, or did the whole fucking thing we kind of touched on and was, you know, I'm Tanya. Call me Tanya.
Yeah.
Okay. So she did that.
And she's talking to Heather while having a boom mic in her hand.
Yeah. That's great. I do like that.
And she says, and Heather's like, sounds like the only way you can feel sexy right now is to imitate the female he chose instead of you. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel insecure. So you want to be the transgressive harlot he temporarily desired over you. That's me. I'm going to be a life coach or maybe a mime. Yeah.
Which is, they do a lot of research for this show. I read an interview recently, and they—I mean, it's obvious in the writing and the, you know, the depth of the explanations that we get from them. But like, they actually—they go and meet with doctors and psychologists, and
And Dan Savage has talked about this a lot. Like after affairs, he's like, people don't want to talk about it, but sex ramps up, and people will pretend like they get in like this kind of Tanya-esque game.
Wow.
So yeah, he talks about this. So
that's
apparently
so
this
fascinating.
Is like,
it felt so weird to see like that their sex life went up so much.
Yeah, but apparently this is a real thing. I guess it's like a rebonding thing. And like, okay, well, I've got to push this other person's like chemicals out of your body.
That's
or something.
Right. Let's get all these fluids going.
I'm replacing her fluids with my fluids.
That's right.
Ew, no.
Claimed mine.
Show's all about the body, guys.
Oh, speaking of which, this is the scene where Valencia talks about having put makeup on Colin's butt crack.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where she says, like, he smells like pencil shavings and vinegar.
Still so gross.
So bad. And I like that she's so grossed out about being makeup on this guy who looks just like Josh, the guy that she dated.
Yeah,
for,
of course she'd find him revolting.
Well, I mean, yeah, she does. She's over it.
That,
yeah.
Regardless of what he actually smells like, that's probably just what she smells whenever Josh is around now. Like,
you guys, I'm kind of afraid that Valencia is growing too much and they're going to kick her off the show like the
Ukraine. No.
She's just growing too much. I've learned to like her.
If it makes any difference, one of the interviews I was listening to, they're like season 3 premieres, blah, blah, blah. And then like one of the like clickbait ads or whatever is about like, well, what happened to Greg? And then the official line from Rachel is just like, well, we haven't forgotten about him. Like he's still a character in the universe. So and then like I think
that's what you say to people like when your friend moves across country.
But what if because she didn't talk like she quote unquote didn't talk to anyone for 2 weeks when she was in that hotel room.
Yeah.
But what if she was talking to Greg? Like she had like she wasn't talking to her mom. You know, she wasn't talking to her mom. Like who is like, I don't know. I find it hard to even in your most depressed not reach out to someone.
She has a habit of giving an inappropriate amount of information to complete strangers. So she found like a bellhop.
You're right. Okay. Or,
like a concierge or somebody, and she like
another. There's
unloaded
another.
On
there are like five other Patricks in West Carolina.
I know. I was gonna say, order some packages.
Yeah. Okay.
Deliver them here.
She went down to the pool and like there was a children. There were children there, and it's fine.
Some
she can just unload her. Yeah. Exactly.
Tell the mom.
You guys want to go to the bar? I just thought it might be nice. You've never been there before. I can get you a fake ID.
Yeah. Okay. So
I really like taking kids to the bar.
I'll come back next week and give you a list of all the strangers she's given inappropriate information to.
Ooh,
it would be a nice
list.
This.
Yes.
It's a good coping mechanism, though.
Can you sing it?
Any tune you want. Any tune.
Any tune. Oh, these are Rebecca's strangers.
All right. Crap.
Yes.
All the strangers.
Victory is mine.
Every once in a while, I'm like, okay, you've got to make yourself uncomfortable.
We'll write some original songs. Woo! And perform them. It'll become a thing we do.
All right.
Unfortunately, Angela has to be first.
You've got to remind me this weekend that I've promised to do this.
Wait.
To write a song.
I'll give you reminders.
We need a new $29.99
in order to write this song. Got it. We'll do it actually at the slumber party.
Yes!
The Basic Instinct slumber party in which we write songs.
You guys, today we're going to do a musical episode.
We should.
She just came up with all the songs.
Little keyboard.
Oh, that's so great. I can play like two songs on the ukulele.
Okay.
So I got your back.
So we got two songs.
Don't you have bongos at your dad's house?
Playing bongos.
I do have bongos laying around, yeah.
Okay, so we got bongos. We got a
I got a drum set that I could just.
If anyone has a trumpet, I can rock that out. I just don't own one anymore.
Do not.
Crap. Why doesn't anyone own a trumpet?
Does anybody have a saxophone?
These are saxophone worthy
songs. I could play the scales.
We have such a beautiful smorgasbord of instruments right now.
Is that how you're going to sing your list next week? Is just the scales?
Anybody have a guitar? I could play Name by Goo Goo Dolls.
Ooh, it's a good song.
Or Black Hole Sun. Those are my two. I have two, like, let's see, on the ukulele, I can play Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Mm-hmm. And then on the guitar, I can play Sound, Black Hole Sun and Name by Goo Goo Dolls.
I can do Bush. Glycerine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's the same.
You play
same genre.
Glycerine, but I'll play Black Hole Sun. It'll be beautiful. Then we'll get some scales on the sax, and you can do whatever you like on those bongos. Bam. Mission accomplished. Life complete.
So our girl squad is freaking out how gross this is. And this is when we get
our band. That's not nice.
Not a girl. Yeah. They're like, this band is terrible. It's going to ruin this porno. But also, this porno is a bad idea. And then that's when Rebecca comes out fully nude into the living room.
Yeah.
I was like, hey guys, I'm ready. I'm ready to have sex with Josh.
I tried all the stuff you gave me, the pasties, the bandeau, whatever that
bandeau.
Is. What is a bandeau?
It's like
a plaid. Kind of tube.
Like
thing?
A tube. Yeah, like a tube top, but smaller.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bandeau, the nude bodysuit, the green screen underwear. I can't feel inhibited right now. If I'm going to have fake sex, it has to feel real.
And she starts freaking out about condoms. And that's when Paula is like, nope.
And then,
more.
She's like, let's do one with condoms and one without. Just so our bases covered.
So I don't know what the rules are for porn. And you're like, oh, God. And this is the next clip I pulled, which is Paula finally breaking down and being like, no, honey. This is wrong.
Stop in the name of love and sanity.
And I don't... I guess I thought that if I could be near a Josh, just even a fake one, that things would become clear, you know, because I haven't seen the real Josh since before he left me at the altar. I haven't seen him or talked to him. And I just thought that if I made this sex tape and maybe he could see the tape and he would know. And this was what? This was a horrible idea.
Honey,
you know that we are all here to help you take down Josh, but we are not gonna help you take down yourself at the same time.
Sorry to interrupt, but I never did get my bagel. Also, if you're interested, I had a couple of line tweaks to make Josh a more sympathetic character.
Oh, hell.
Yes.
Do you know Josh?
Right now.
I don't think you know Josh. You need new hair.
Get your check in the mail.
You don't know him.
Yeah, that whole thing is excellent.
Yeah. I love that. And he is. He's kind of like, I don't know, self-absorbed like the real Josh. I never got my bagel.
Well, and they're kind of like, you know, making fun of a stereotypical actor who's like, I'm not sure about this character. Can we maybe make them a little? Because, you know, you're taught that you have to empathize with your character when you're acting and stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of makes some of them will go overboard. Like, can we make them maybe just a, you know, I feel for this person to an extent. So can we?
But it's a porno. You're not supposed to have any standards.
But it could, I mean, that could have been like maybe one of the like best, like one of the deepest pornos ever shot. Like there could have been actual consideration for
phrasing
the characters.
It could have made its way to the movie theaters, you guys, and not the sticky seat one. It could have been the real movie theater. If only those lines have been tweaked.
Such an actor mentality.
It is. But I guess, like, I watched some documentary about life after porn, and it did show that they have some sort of like porno award ceremony.
They do.
So he could have, if you know.
He could have revolutionized the porn industry.
Like, Rebecca Bunch, real estate lawyer,
we'd have like Juilliard educated porn actors. And
you guys, bitches, I went to Harvard and Yale, and now I got a porno award.
She would rock that. She would be great in a porno, but
she would. I think she'd be very enthusiastic.
It's still looked down upon in society, which is what Paula was saying, I guess.
Well,
yes.
that was really cool too. Is they took that idea. There's like a double standard with revenge porn, right? Where when a guy releases revenge porn, it's revenge on his ex, right? Mm-hmm. And like in this case, it's a woman who's going to reverse or release a revenge porn to, you know,
the porn.
Yeah. Get revenge on a guy, and then they're like, wait a second, it's going to shame both you guys. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Is that it's exposing that, I guess, to an extent. Yeah. It's at least bringing up a conversation about
it. It brought it up. So I don't think it like really drove it home as an idea, or just like
even as I was explaining, I was kind of thinking, wait a second.
Yeah, they didn't point it out as much as they could have, but I like being aware of that double standard, but
obviously the guys who are releasing revenge
porn are will make you lose your lunch.
So where is she gonna release it? Like, it's funny in that, like, who's gonna care? Like, who's gonna?
She's gonna release it to the Pope.
Oh, I guess yeah.
She's just gonna send it to the Vatican.
Guess who one of your priests are?
This man is in San Luis Obispo right now at a seminary. You have to
kick him out.
Stop him from inseminating your church.
He likes to inseminate.
He's had sex before.
He's had sex like so many times that he can't count that.
He told me he's got a boner for Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry. That's terrible.
Speaking of boners for Jesus, Daryl and Wyjo visit Dr. Copian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But not the Dr. Copian we think of. But Dr. Copian's husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other Dr. Copian. Yeah, David. Which, I think that was a casting thing. Like, maybe she wasn't available. So they
yeah,
were like,
yeah, I'm hoping.
I was a little bummed out because I was like, Dr. Copian, I'm like, yes! And then, you know, you find out it's the other Dr. Copian, I'm like, that's a cheap shot.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen her reaction to them fixing their issue so fast. Like, it's like, okay, there's people that I can't help, and then there's people that don't
that
need
just
me.
Figure it all out right there.
She's so expressive and credible. Like, you know, they made the husband a little bit more like low key, but you're right. Like, Dr. Copian, the real Dr. Copian, would have like been like, this is what I needed. Thank you. Do you guys like to kayak?
Let's go get lunch.
Let's go get lunch. I like to be outdoorsy.
I also wanted to say, I guess from the last scene with Rebecca kind of having that like breakdown, I don't care about myself, like, and she's talking about she hasn't seen Josh. It feels like kind of a weak moment, but at the same time, I like that it points out like she's owed some kind of an explanation or a conversation with this guy at least. Like, I think that like he has, like, I had this kind of this thought that the best revenge would be if he had to talk to her about it. Like, for somebody like him, the worst thing that he could encounter is actually have to go through the experience of talking to somebody like her about doing what he just did.
It's kind of like he went into the seminary and then he ghosted her, which is what he likes to do.
He can't confront some kind of a difficult, interaction, so he takes off.
Well, he didn't just ghost her, too. He ghosted the world. Like, he didn't even offer probably his parents an explanation or a sister.
You're right.
I doubt he called anybody.
He's not talking to anybody either.
Well, his parents were in the crowd at the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess he's not marrying
this one either.
And it's like
100%.
He could totally be like, guys, I'm just trying to get attuned with God. And that's his way of being like, I don't have to confront anything. Frustrating. Yeah. Oh, but with Dr. Copian, Daryl, I love that Daryl's like, I'm a catch. Start acting like it.
Yeah.
Like, that was really cool.
That seemed like a really abrupt kind of turn on White Josh's part, though. Like, I felt like it was kind of, I liked that he had a self-realization.
Like the judgy thing?
Yeah, like, just for him to that quickly, like, you're right. All right. Whatever you want. Like, it felt like a really abrupt, almost unrealistic kind of realization.
And actually, a lot of the stuff in this episode felt very abrupt or fast or like,
okay,
we got to get all this set up or all this, like, loose ends out of the way. So that
I guess that tells us it's another 13 episodes instead.
So I was like, we're going to be quick about it. Yeah. But, I don't know.
I mean, they seem to, they do have a tendency, those two, they're very rational together and they fix things pretty quickly. So, and I know White Josh is a smarter character, so it makes sense that he's able to resolve something in his head that quickly and go, oh, wait a second, okay, maybe I am judgy because all my friends are stupid, but
but it's one of those things that he's been told this message again and again, right? Yeah. Like, this isn't the first time he heard
that's
it
true.
It's just now he heard it from somebody else and now he clicks.
Who he actually maybe respects more
than his stupid friends.
They're
super stupid,
They are super stupid. And, the fact that Daryl actually kind of stands up to him, I think it kind of makes Y Joe feel like, or Joe Y, depending on how you want to put it. it makes him kind of see like, okay, yeah, you're standing up to me and this isn't something you normally do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is why. Okay. Right.
And I also think, too, because they're supposed to stand in as such a good couple, I'm hoping they're not there to have their own arcs or their own like weird romance or their own weird ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend stuff. Like, they really are an example of how to do things maturely.
Yeah.
The poster couple.
In that case, you can't have them fight for three episodes. It has to be like, okay, well, we had a fight. We went to therapy. We figured it out on our own. We talked about it.
And we already have one character doing a heavy therapy arc.
We can't have another one.
But this kind of probably feels like still a dream, right? Like, this is...
It was really quick.
But, I mean, like, this is how arguments should be, right?
You
try to find the other person's perspective, and from that perspective... You see what's true to yourself and you try to grow from that moment. Like,
this is great.
Super good.
It was like a fantasy sequence. Like, this is what we all want out of life.
We all dream
this
of.
This is all we want. And that's why it's here.
We all just need a therapy session with Daryl. And then it'll be
I bet Daryl's the little spoon and Y Joe's the big spoon.
Absolutely. Yes. He's got little shoulders.
He does. Oh, God.
And a sweetheart.
He does. Yeah.
And this is, they briefly went over something in Daryl's backstory. He found out that he was a distant relative was Native American and he changed his last name.
The next day.
Yeah. Now it takes us 3 hours to get through security at the airport.
Yep. Yeah, because none of your IDs match. It's great. and then he's like, well, yeah, that's true. You're right. But you know what? I did more for your business in 2 days than you've done in 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's also true. Now he did have like some.
Which is
to be fair, that's a real low blow, though. If anyone told me that, I probably would have broke up with him
that's
on the spot.
Like,
and I
would have
been like mad for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess good on Josh for not being mean.
It does take 2 years to
develop something like
an ant recipe. I mean, like that takes time.
That guy works his ass off, obviously, in everything that he does.
Right.
And that was no exception.
Graphic design,
like,
whatever.
There should have been a little bit more of an argument there. Mm. Like,
I don't know, because I could totally see it the other way, though, where like if someone said that to me, I'd be like, okay, well, yeah, you're right. You did. Here's the part that I was dragging my feet on. And I feel like that's what Y Joe was doing. Joe Y. That's what I'm going to call him now. That's what Joe Y was doing. He was like, no, I have this recipe and I'm scared of this next step. So I'm just going to keep perfecting the recipe.
Yeah.
Because until it is perfect, I will do nothing with it. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like, that's the way
almost
I see
like
about
the,
it.
The writer who constantly revises and never lets the thing go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, what did they say? That perfection is the
enemy of the good?
The enemy of the good enough. Or, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's one of those things that Daryl is not a malicious person. So if Joe Y is in a healthy relationship, he's going to be like, okay, you didn't say this in a malicious way. You're saying this because there's some truth and you're trying to help me through it.
Yeah.
In theory.
But to me, that just diminishes 2 years of work. And you're just like, did you really just trample on my 2 years of work perfecting my recipe for my business? And then you come in with your stupid ideas and you like bulldoze it and take it over and make it your own? No way. Like, that's where I get mad.
Yeah.
The normal person. I don't know.
We all have our own triggers.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
So that's a big thing.
Yeah, for me, it's always like work effort related. Like,
yeah,
there'd be more fight if somebody did that to me too. Yeah, I'd probably have a conniption of some sort, flip out a little bit, and then like after a while, I'd be like, okay, you did help though, thank you.
Like, yeah, I guess you helped, whatever.
See, but everyone has their own triggers, and this isn't my trigger, so I get that. But like, I have my own that like there are certain things that if they're said to me, I will totally flip out, and it's probably not the same as you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd be like, well, that's no big deal. I'm like, no.
Yeah, it'll come out too. And we'll be like,
this is big.
Yeah.
This is breakup worthy right here.
Oh, yeah. People telling me like my efforts have not been worthwhile or that I've taken too long to do something are just like,
well, yeah. And imagine if you spent
off the fucking rail for me.
The best example I can think of, like personally, is if I spent 2 years writing something and then somebody like took it and I don't know, like produced it or attached somebody to it or something in like a few days,
and sold
and then
it.
They tried to tell me I did more for you in 3 days than you did in 2 years, I'd flip.
Lose your mind. Yeah. Absolutely.
So there's a balance. There's a more balanced perspective to that, I think.
I get you guys. And because of empathy, I can see where you're coming from, and I respect your point of view.
But at the same time, from your subjective perspective, we're wrong.
You would be very very grateful.
All
like
I'm
you would
saying from my perspective is I wouldn't react the same way. That is no way invalidating how you guys react.
Thank
like
you.
For me, like if Daryl had said to me, "You're being selfish right now," that would be that's one of my thingies.
Okay,
one of my thingies, one of my triggers. Like if someone calls me selfish, I'm like, what do you mean I'm so? Because like
so
I try so
to
much
take care
to help
of myself?
People.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, like, everyone has their triggers. And that's, like, that's one of mine. Yeah. So you shared yours, I'll share mine.
Yay.
La, la, la.
I think they started a fight that was potentially bigger, that they fixed it really fast and kind of unrealistically. Mm-hmm. And maybe
it'll come back.
Yeah. Maybe they should have.
Well, the baby thing's going to keep going. Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out.
Why, Joe's like, I got so much life to live. I won't be a daddy yet.
Yeah, what was this thing? He's like, I don't know if I'm ready for a kid or if I don't know if I ever want a kid. And then Daryl's like, you hate babies.
Yep, I know. It's funny
like,
how he's
dude,
that guy
I'm
that
in my
jumps
20s.
To
the yeah, he's at least 15, maybe 20 years younger than Daryl.
Yeah.
Like, that's one spot where we're seeing the age difference.
Yeah.
True story. You're right. Like, that's
plus, Daryl's
had
kids, too. So he's like, it's no big deal. It's just a kid. And it's a huge deal if you've never
had them. It just changes your life. It just, like, totally, like,
makes you completely reprioritize everything that you care about.
No big deal. It's just lose independence.
It's another human you have to care and think about.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It just, like, kind of floods your thoughts. Like, no biggie.
I don't even take on new friends that easy. Come on.
And Madison seems like an easy kid.
Yeah.
She's not Paula's
kid. She's out
kids.
There running her own business right now. Right?
Yeah, exactly. They make unicorns and snail up stuffed animals.
Paula's kids.
Same. We're going to get to Paula's kids.
I think that's probably
their fates
very
have
similar
been sealed.
Next. Yeah.
They're going to be
in our next scene.
Yeah.
Because we basically go from therapy in a therapist's office to therapy in an apartment with wine
bottles. Yes! That's what you do. And I looked at their wine and I'm like, man, that's really pink. Like, that's some rosé for sure.
Yeah, it looked like a liqueur or something.
I know!
Like that.
I was like, you're in a bottle. But
it's a more affordable therapy.
I guess so. And it didn't really have bubbles. Like, I expect bubbles out of pink wine like that. Like, I expect it to be like more
like fruit punch or something.
I was like, that's some interesting wine there. That's like the really cheap, like $250 rack where you're like, this is the cheapest stuff at the store. Let's get a case. Not that I've done that.
No, nobody.
No one.
Does.
No one buys.
Nobody does that. No one does that. Nobody gets like bulk at the cheapest stuff. Ever.
I had a roommate once who bought a case of wine when she got her first real job. And I mean, this by once, I mean, I was like 22 and she was 25. So I was like, that's really cool. And I thought it was the coolest thing. But then it took me so long to get a real job that I'm just like, why did I think that was so cool?
So then when you got a job, did you get a case of wine?
No, I didn't do that. I just went into my job. I got in the house I live in. I just continued living my life. And I was like, why didn't I? But I think about that roommate all the time now. I'm like, oh, she got a case of wine.
I should have got a case of wine when I started my real job.
They should just you a case of wine if you get a real job ever.
Yes.
Like, it's especially more of an accomplishment now than it has been in the past.
Yeah,
they should just be like, congratulations, you've met our rigorous set of like, exactly.
Our entry level 10 years of experience.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys, I feel like what we should have is case of wine party day. Okay. And all we do is we get a case of wine and we have a party. And it's case of wine party day.
I like it.
And we'll just talk about how men are the worst and we'll sing about it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happened.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that is.
Oh, wait, back to the show.
Yeah.
So we get, we've got the back to the girl squad.
And we have Generalize About Men song.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is an amazing song.
Oh my goodness,
the lyrics of this are incredible.
I've got one clip from it, and then we can talk about the rest of the lyrics.
I think
every
great.
Single line is awesome.
But... I know. I wrote like almost the entire song down because I'd be like, pause, write that down. That's a good line. And then I play again. I'm like, pause, write that down. That's a good line. Mm-hmm. And it just happened again and again and again. And then I was like, I'm not going to write any more lines down. And then I was like, no, that one's good too. Pause. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is some generalization.
All men are completely repressed. Uh-huh. All men only want to have sex. There are no exceptions. All 3 billion men are like this.
All 3.6 billion men.
All men are emotionally stunted.
When asked how they feel, every man's always grunted.
And why do men never listen and only think about themselves? As opposed to women who always listen and never think about themselves.
Which is such a good line.
Yeah.
From Rebecca, who never thinks about herself.
Let's take one bad thing about one man and apply it to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I love it. You guys couldn't hear, but I feel so bad for everyone in this room because I was belting out the song with the clip.
We like when you sing. It's fine.
Aw, yay.
Yeah, there's...
And then it's legitimately every like breakup after when you're like, oh my God, I hate him.
Yes.
And then your friends are like, all men suck.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you get wasted.
Yep.
This is exactly what chicks do. And it's true. We generalize all men.
And it's
so
great that they point it out. Like, can't we just admit that it's a ritual that we all have to
go through from time to time? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I like how they said, like, all men are stupid and childish, even the ones that are smart and mature. I was like, damn straight they are.
Those are the most childish and stupid. Those mature ones.
They can rationalize their childishness.
And then they, like, say, all they do is watch porn, eat wings, burp, fart, and snore.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Except gay men.
Except gay men.
All gay men are great.
They're
There's
just
nothing
sassy.
Wrong with them. They're not mean. I think that's actually the part where I died because I'm like, this is great, this is great.
Yes!
And I'm like, oh my God.
And then, like, so we're just talking about straight men. All men are monsters, murderers, rapists.
Yep.
And then Paula's like,
oh, wait, I have sons.
And then they're going to be rapists.
Your sons are going to be rapists.
That is the ending of the song.
Oh, and then Paul afterwards is like, what?
Yeah.
Crap, hang on.
Okay. Let me jazz hands. And the song, too.
I like how everyone, have you noticed that each character kind of has their color?
Mm-hmm.
Like Paula always wears pink. Rebecca always
Very
wears blue. Heather rocks yellow like no one I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then I feel bad because Valencia, she entered late. So they're like, crap, what other color do we have? I guess orange. There you go. And if Paula or Rebecca isn't around, then she'll get like pink or blue. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's fun.
But she's, oh, I love her too. The next part too, I love most about her, or I connected most with her.
Oh yes, I know what you're talking about.
They so they continue drinking, and they're like, we need to get revenge in a good way, and Valencia gets mad, like says some offhand comment about how she should sue Josh because she can never book another wedding as a wedding planner because he ran away, so he's ruined her business. Yeah. She needs to
her
sue
him. Her reputation is already ruined on her first wedding ever.
Legit.
Yeah.
Super. But then everyone just takes her idea and just runs with it.
And they think Paula. Paula. Yeah.
Paula grabs it.
Yeah. And then the lines I totally get is like, wait, like, do I even exist?
she says, am I dead? How did I die?
That's so sad. You girl,
it was my idea. They're not paying attention to her at all.
I get that too. Like I've had that before, where it feels just like that. She voiced it so beautifully.
I've been like that with so many jokes. Mm-hmm. I'll say something and then somebody rephrases it and they get the laugh.
And you're like, why?
Am I dead?
I'm dead. Man, I actually just had this happen to me today where someone was like, oh, these people in the office are so great because they do this and this and this. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
It was all you.
They're the only ones. I don't do a damn thing, obviously.
Fine. My big moment of that was I was like getting burgers with friends, and it was like late middle of the night, and this like five people in front of me all got their orders taken, and then the woman just turned around. I was like, am I not real? Am I not here? I guess I'm a ghost. I kept saying ghost. It's like, I'm a ghost, guys. Oh, but it wasn't as funny. It was kind of stupid in the moment.
My darling.
Poor Valencia. But so I love her 100% so much now. I don't know. She's the best. Yes. Best character.
Yeah. She really is. Like, she handled that very well. And for someone who's new to humor, she really has a kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to finish up the episode, it's Paula and Rebecca together at work. Because they don't have real cases to work on.
Yeah.
They're in their Team Rebecca shirts, pulling out like all kinds of papers to figure out how they're going to sue Josh. Mm-hmm. And there's a nice little part where Nathaniel brings in the hot chick from the same casting agency to like show Rebecca that he's got a hot chick. But she
blows Nathaniel's date. I'm supposed to show you
who I am.
Like, this is not what I wanted.
That's not what you're supposed to say. Can I get a water?
They all want waters.
And then
thirsty.
Paula's
people.
Like, what's that? Rebecca's like, I can't. Honestly, it's so heartbreaking. Like, it just. I can't.
Yeah.
Which is a really good response.
And what could be more emotionally satisfying than parsing the fine points of torturous interference?
Oh, so good.
This is great.
And at some point, White Josh shows up in the anteater.
Oh, yeah.
And apologizes.
He does. Paula asks who Robert is.
Yes.
We don't get an answer. We get, like, he's a dog.
Yeah.
All men are still
That's
terrible.
That's the go-to lie for the dog. The dog. Yeah.
And then we end...
With poop.
Which is actually, I kind of like this.
I mean, it's, well, to be fair,
full circle.
From a writing perspective, you had to show she's in this state. She's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
She's going to make poop muffins and send them to Josh from Jesus.
Smiley face.
She's in her bathroom and she's got this Tupperware container that she's addressed to Josh, cupcakes from Jesus, and she's like giggling like a little girl, and I really like this episode because I was afraid it was going to be like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner all season with like vengeance,
and this very quickly sets it up as something human. So we don't have much time to talk about it yet now, but we will talk next week more. We'll have even more content because we'll be having a new episode on Friday. I guess the main questions we're going to figure out are like, what are the different types of revenge that she's going to try? We have to think about the theme song. We didn't get to talk about it, but there's no theme song yet.
No!
The big reveal comes this week.
And then I don't even know. It's going to be good, but we'll be back next Wednesday for that.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
We love you.